wonderful song there. And think about what Jesus said on the cross as he hung there for our sins and he cried out, "It is finished." And that finality, that death knell to death. And we're glad that that the Lord Jesus was willing to do that for you and I. And it's been a good week, and I hope that that you've been praying for one another as we've approached getting towards the end of the year. Can you believe it? It's gone so quickly this year. Feels like we blinked and it was leadership conference in the middle of the year, and then we breathe a sigh of relief and now it's nearly Christmas. And it's been that kind of year, but it's been a good year. It's been a blessing to see the church continue to grow and develop. And you know, we've had different firsts this year. We had another first this week. Derek Collins went to Charge Keepers on Friday, so that was amazing. So I took a photo because it was that much of a milestone. But I'm glad that he finally made it there. And I'm glad that that's going well as well. But I hope that you've had a good week. Let's turn our Bibles also. Pick up Deuteronomy chapter 10, and we'll also look at a couple of scriptures this morning. Psalm 146, and we're gonna just open up in different places here. Just notice my auntie Juliet is here. Visiting us from the Philippines, and good to see her come to church this morning. And there's a couple of you returning from recent trips, the Rosses and Rolf. Good to have them back as well as they've traveled and here this with us this morning. But I don't know if you've ever really considered, you know, the first couple of books of the Bible. We call it the Pentateuch, but within that is the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Leviticus, and book of Exodus, and all of these great books of the Bible, and maybe you've read through that, and you've read through the copious amounts of laws and different things that God spoke about, and really sometimes it's missed upon us the reason why it was given. And the reason that it was given was really these are the founding documents of a new nation. This was a place that God wanted to build from the ground up. We know it today as the nation of Israel. And we understand that God, in his mind, he had a great love for this people and a love for this this place on earth. And in his mind, he wanted it to be a certain thing. In his mind, he wanted it to be a different to the different places all around the world. And within it, he gives us, really, as we read through the first five books of the Bible, we really read through the founding documents of that nation. And, you know, we have founding documents that are quite famous in our world today. We have the Magna Carta, right, that identifies that everyone, including those who are earthly sovereigns, those who are monarchs, are meant to be under the law. We also understand the great experiment, they called it, the United States, the famous document, the Declaration of Independence. But did you know that Australia also has founding documents? And what's interesting about founding documents is that it's outlining there for us not only the foundations of a nation, but when you think about it, also the direction and the culture and the behavior of a nation. And so within the pages of Scripture, actually, is interestingly for us, is God's mindset and God's mind in what a nation should look like, but really what a group of people should be like, how they should behave, how they should perceive the way that they treat one another, the way that they would see those around them, and how they were supposed to be from the law standpoint, how they're supposed to be with one another. And God really enumerates in many different parts through the course of his really retelling, even in the book of Deuteronomy, his expectations of this new nation. And what you're going to quickly find is right from the outset, God actually had a mind to those that were outside of Israel as well. He wasn't just forming this. He knew that this land was going to be very different to all of the other things that were found all around the world, all the other people groups and countries. And so he understood that this was going to be a place that was also going to be a beacon of hope and a beacon of light. And it was meant to be the place where they could know God and they could hear about God. And it was supposed to be a place where they could come in and feel the difference from their sojourn from one place to the other. And it was meant to be a different place. And so as God in his mind began to think about the attractiveness of that to other people, he wanted to address also something about what we read here in the book of Deuteronomy, the strangers. The strangers were people who were not of, they were foreign, they were different, they were from perhaps surrounding nations, perhaps from afar, who were sojourning, going through and looking around, deciding and realizing this is a pretty good place to live. This is a good place to be. And so God addresses then with us here this morning the idea of strangers. The idea that he even had a mind not only for how they were supposed to behave to each other, the way they were supposed to behave to those who were coming in who may have been new to that nation. And I think that there's sometimes what's missed on us is a bit of God's heart for those who are coming in. For those who perhaps we're not familiar with, maybe from a different background, maybe from a different sort of upbringing, and they're coming in and they're just new. And yet God records for us very importantly in these founding documents of a nation how it is that we're supposed to treat and what we're supposed to do with strangers. And I like to think about that. You know, sometimes when we know there's a good thing, you know, we'd like to keep it a little bit just for ourselves. When I was growing up, I was in high school. We didn't really have many options, like most places didn't really have many options where you could go out and get a cheap meal. But when I finally got my license, I was in year 10, and my friends and I, we were allowed, if you believe this, back in the day, we were allowed to take our car and go out and drive somewhere for lunch. All right, what a novel idea. That was our high school. We were allowed to do that. And so we went down the road, and there was this new place that opened up. It was called Big Chief's. And at Big Chief's, they had great burgers. Right, and it was cheap burgers. You could get a burger and a drink for, get this, $2. All right? I remember when GST came in, it became $2.20, and we were all up in arms, right? But for a little while, we would just go there, and it was just, we wouldn't even line up. We would go there. The people knew us. They would just greet us, and they would say, "Oh, Hernan, the usual? Yes, please, $2.20. Here we go," right? And burger and burger chips, burger drinks, whatever the combination was. But, you know, this place was local. This place was just a place that us high schoolers knew about, really. We all hung out there during lunchtime. We would grab food. And for those of our friends who couldn't come with us, sometimes we'd get them something. And we would just, it was Rudy Hill's best kept secret. Okay, I grew up in Western Sydney, forgive me. All right. But for a while, it lasted that way. But you know what happens? News went around. This place was a great place. They made great burgers that were cheap. And suddenly, after a year, there were other people coming in. There were people that had heard that this was a great place, that they could get fed. This was a great place where you could just, you know, you find a friendly face across the over the counter, and you could have a good meal, and you could have a good time there. And before long, we couldn't even find a parking spot, typical Sydney, right? And eventually, it just became a place there that everyone knew and everyone went to. And I remember when Big Chief's then expanded their menu because there was so much and there was so much to offer. And what sometimes we do is when we like a thing, we like to keep it a best-kept secret. And sometimes we don't know what to do with those that are coming in. And I want to tell you that sometimes church can be that way as well. And I want to talk this morning, because here's what I'm seeing, church, and I just want to talk to you this morning as your pastor, we've got to be careful to have the right mindset. And I think it's been wonderful this year and in the past many years as we've faithfully continued to do the work of God, as we've faithfully continued to just be in the Word of God and to teach it and preach it and to try to reach our community for the Lord, that incidentally in all of that, God has been bringing in His mind and in His purpose those who are fairly new. I won't make you do it, but if I was to ask you to stand, if you've been here just in this last year, I would hasten to guess that there would be a good number of you. If I was to say 2 years, there'd be even more. If I was to say the last 3 years, there'd be more of. And what you're going to find is there's a group of people here that have just come along in the last many years, but there's also a good group of people here who've been here for a long time, and I praise God for that. I praise God for those of you who've been here for 10, 15, longer years, and I'm glad for the many of you who've invested over the many, many years. You've raised your families here. You've raised your and now some of you raising your grandchildren here. What an amazing thing. And I think church should be that way. And I've come in, and I said it earlier, you know, if you were to stand, if you've been here in the last 3 years, guess who'd be standing with you? Me. I got to be part of this church. And I got to come in and recognize that there were some things that the church is that we need to be. And yet in all of that, we can say it could be Albany Creek's best kept secret sometimes. And you know what I've found is as we've opened ourselves up as a church to just receive those who are coming into the area, receive those perhaps who are just looking around for a good church. And, you know, many of you I've just sat with over the last couple of years, and I've asked you, hey, what brought you here? And it wasn't perhaps a contact. It wasn't perhaps even someone you knew. It wasn't even maybe a tract in your letterbox. Some of you, you've just come. You just heard. And here's something that's been consistently the same for most of those coming in. They're looking for somewhere where the Bible is preached. They're looking for somewhere where they can just be to just get fed from the Word of God. And they're looking, but there's more than that to a church. And I think God brings that out for us in the principles that we're going to learn about what do we do with strangers. Because actually, church, not only do we have a responsibility to continue on with the Word of God and continue on faithfully going through the Bible and preaching the whole counsel of God, and there ought to be a mindset in us that is paramount to who we are and what we should be. But actually, there's certain mindsets and certain attitudes that we're supposed to have that God outlines for us in the principle about strangers. Because if we're not careful, we can have the attitude that we're just Albany Creek's best kept secret. Now, we want to be a church that is like what we find in the founding documents of even this group of people, Israel. That'll apply to us, I think, in our day to day. You know, in this setting up of the nation, God had some advice that I think would do well for us to take heed. And if you're new here, if this is maybe it's your second week, maybe it's your first week, I want to tell you welcome. We're glad you're here, and I hope that this can be a little bit of a start of a journey. And I want to tell you, I was there once too. All right, I was new at one point. I had a first Sunday at one point. I had a first time sitting right there, and I had a first time, but the difference is you just get to sit there. I had to come up here too, right? And that intimidation factor, that new factor, but here's what I'm saying. You know, we want to be a church that's growing. We want to be a church that's welcoming. We want to be a church that is described in principle in the things that we're going to see here this morning. And look at Psalm 146. We already read Deuteronomy chapter 10. Look at Psalm 146. And we'll turn to different parts of Scripture. So hope that you'll follow along with me. Psalm 146. And notice verses 5 to 9. This great psalm of trust that that David writes. And he goes on and look at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so he's already from the beginning just recognizing just how good that is. Just how good it is that we have the God. And then he says in verse 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. There you go. Right from the outset, just the importance of a creator God, the ultimate one who has authority over even creation, and then the truth that he has expounded to them. Verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed. The Lord loveth the righteous. And we would all agree with that. But then he says, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. You know, you think about the society that we live in, and so often when we think of the widows and the fatherless, and even those who are strangers, maybe who have come in from different places, we can often think that that's a responsibility of someone else. That's someone else's purview to look after and to take care of. But actually, you think about God's mindset there. He says he has a great love for those. He preserves the strangers. He relieveth. That means he takes away burdens from the fatherless and the widow. You know, in that society, they were the most needy. In that society that they lived in this land called Israel, those who would come in who were fatherless and widows, and those who were strangers, they were the ones that were most susceptible to the ills of society. They were susceptible to just the their own poverty. They were the ones in dire straits. And yet so often, God would refer to those who were fatherless, who were widows, who were strangers as the ones that he loved. No, there was no doubt he had a great love for his people. He said it himself. In fact, he told them that I will be your father. He told them that I'm going to be the one that will provide for you. I'm going to be the one that will be the one to protect you and provide for you. But don't forget the stranger. Don't forget those that perhaps I'm going to bring your way. Don't forget those that maybe as they come in, they'll look a little different and they might act a little bit different and they might just be looking for some place of refuge and strength. Don't forget them. You know, that famous story that the Bible outlines in the book of Ruth. You think about the book of Ruth, how that family, Naomi, had no one. After leaving, going to another country, coming back with only her daughter-in-law, a Moabitess. And that great lineage that came from Ruth as she met Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, and that wonderful love story, all to illustrate for us, really, God's mindset to bring those in that were without. And you know what? As churches, we can grow comfortable in just who we know and what we already know. And if we're not careful, we can lose the heart of God for the stranger. If we're not careful, we can lose the heart of God to notice and to treat in a certain way, unless you might think that that's an Old Testament thing. I want to tell you that there's a couple of passages in the New Testament. In Hebrews 13:2, the Bible tells us, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. It says, don't forget. You know, we just got a reminder on video here. Don't forget our missionaries. You know, I'm thankful for Pastor Shemesh, his investment here. I'm thankful for what he's doing over there. And I'm thankful for what God is doing. I've been there. I was there when Udom had his opening service. We were there earlier this year. I got to preach his opening service. I got to see, I know those group of people that they're starting to win. I remember when we were having that conversation in the vehicle. But you know what they've done? You know what I'm seeing over there? And what we ought to continue to see here is that when those that God is bringing in, there's a great heart and there's a great mindset and there's a great awareness, and a great noticeability in the place to love and to help and to welcome. And listen, church, we can tick all the boxes of what we believe we should be, but let's not forget this. Let's not forget to forget to entertain strangers. He says, for thereby some have even entertained angels unawares. That word entertain there means just simply to give attention. It doesn't mean, you know, to go grab some juggling balls and make sure you've got their attention. No, he's saying to give attention to. You know, we're not here for a show. We're here for something else. And you're meant to give attention to. And that whole idea of to entertain strangers means to give attention or consideration to. Hey, listen. When was the last time you met someone new? When was the last time you noticed that someone had come in that you don't know their name? And when was the last time you even took some time to shake a hand and introduce yourself instead of wandering in sometimes? And I get it, in the weariness of the week, just wanting something from God. But listen, we're not just here to be fed. We're here to serve, right? And we're here to be for someone. And we're here to be to another, perhaps a refuge and a strength. And he's saying, give attention. He's saying, don't forget to entertain strangers. And we've got to adjust and align our thinking with God's heart. Because that's what it's about. It's about us being more godly. It's about us being more like Him. And this was His mindset on things. Look at another place in Scripture. Look at 3 John. 3 John. So if you get to the book of John, keep going. He writes further letters towards the end of the Bible. And you're going to look at 1st, 2nd, and we're going to look at the third epistle of John. He's writing to a group of people here, a group of believers. And notice his commendation to the people there. Look at verse 5. Notice, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. He's saying to the brethren, those who are our fellow believers, those who are fellow churchgoers, they were part of the same church. But notice he says, and to strangers. So those coming in, those who perhaps you're unfamiliar with. And he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. They had a great love. A love in action, a love that was growing, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. He's saying you're aiding them in their journey for me, and you're producing godliness in them, because that for his namesake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. He was saying to them, he's saying, you know, they could find it elsewhere. They could find welcome elsewhere. The Gentiles he's referring to there are those that were outside of the church. And you know, you marvel something. You go to places and you go to different things that people really have a cause for. And sometimes even just more temporal motivations. And it's amazing the kind of welcome you can get. You could go to a theme park. And boy, they just seem, all of them love the place, don't they? And you go in and you have a sense and a feeling that, man, I could stay here all day. You can sometimes go to a really good establishment, maybe a restaurant, and you could get a welcome there. You could have your social needs met somewhat. But he's saying they're taking nothing of the Gentiles. Then he says this in verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such, so those strangers, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. You know what the end point was? Saying there's more at stake for you. Here's why I'm commending you. He's saying I'm commending you because you've shown charity to the strangers and you've helped them to the truth. You know, I wonder how many times we as a church, when in our, just perhaps in our busyness and maybe just maybe not even, maybe in our growing cold of it, if I can say, have we allowed those that God's bringing in to pass by without a further thought? And what we've done is we've not helped, we've hindered. You know, I've traveled a little bit, and my habit with my family, if we're going somewhere where we don't know a church, we will go to whatever church is in that city. And we'll just go, sometimes it's not a Baptist church, I'll just be honest. And we'll go in there and sometimes you gauge the love that that church has. And we've been to big churches, we've been to very big churches with 5,000, 10,000 people. And we've been to some where you felt like you were just a number. And we've gone to some where you felt like you were part of family. You know, here's how we gauged it. Our kids would just run around everywhere. Right, there was a particular church and they're great friends of ours, but it was the first time we had visited over there. It was about 10 years ago. And our kids were just real little. We only had Vicky and Malachi at that point. And we had gone to a church just a week before. It was one of the biggest churches on the in the U.S. over there. We flew to the other coast and we went into this church. The first church, there was just no one shook our head. No one, and it was great preaching. It was great music. It was great everything, but we felt like a number. We sat there, no one introduced themselves. Until they found out I knew the pastor, and then I was very popular, right? But then we went to this other church, and they're friends of mine. They knew, but no one else knew that. And we went in, and you know what? Every person introduced themselves to us. We had so many handshakes. They asked where we were from. They asked how we're doing. They asked if there's anything we could do for you. And our kids just felt so much liberty. They started running around the place. They took their shoes off. They were home. You know what? That spoke volumes to us as a couple of the warmth of the place. The love of God was there. And you just get that sense of, you know, this is a place that I want to be. And I want to start off by saying here that this is just a reminder, but then a challenge for us as a church. That we're not to grow cold in the things that we don't think are important, but are. Sometimes there's things that we get into the habit of, and if we're not purposeful and intentional in thinking of it, we can grow cold in. That's so true of so many parts of the Christian life. But it's true of this part as well. And in this, our reading in 3 John, we notice again that he says to the commendation was this, thou doest well faithfully. And he talks about how that they've received. In verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such. That whole word, that word receive, simply means to greet or welcome. Here's the first reminder this morning. Can I remind our church? Whenever God brings someone in that may be new, can you greet them and welcome them? It's very basic, isn't it? You know, here's what we do. We're busy. I'm part of this and I'm part of that. And I've got to do this and I've got to do. And listen, we can sometimes be human doings. We're human beings. We're to be. And we're key. The work of the ministry isn't work, it's people. And we're supposed to welcome and greet and listen, what's wrong with a warm handshake and a warm smile and how about some of the joy of the Lord coming out of you? And you know, we're supposed to receive, to greet, and to welcome. And God, again, in his teaching in these founding documents, look at Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And notice verses 33 and 34. Look at verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, what a sojourner was, he just decided he was passing through, but he was going to stay a little while. He recognizes this was a place. This was a good place. It says, if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, notice here, ye shall not vex him. To vex is to trouble or distress. So don't trouble them. Don't have this mindset of suspicion, is what he's saying. When they come in, they don't just immediately be suspicious of them. Don't distress them. Don't trouble them. It says, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Wow. say, you know, you just disregard where they're coming from. Actually have the mindset like they're someone that was born there. And thou shalt love him as thyself. Why? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And lest they mistake who it's coming from, he says, I am the Lord your God. And he's telling them, listen, there's a certain mindset. Welcome them. Welcome them. You know, he's saying to them, treat them well. You shall not vex him. Don't trouble them. In Exodus 22, 21, he says it similarly. He says, thou shalt not vex a stranger. And then he uses another word, oppress, nor oppress him. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. That word oppress means to, don't. He says, don't make him feel small. That's what the word oppress means. Don't make him feel small. Don't make them feel insignificant. Don't make them feel like they don't belong there, is what he, don't stand over them and make them feel small, is what he was saying. And there's meant to be a mindset in us that as God brings people into this place, that boy, we have a great place, but you're welcome. And where are you from? And how are you? And what's your name? My name is. And we're supposed to make the effort. And God's saying that we're not meant to make strangers feel a certain way. We're to treat them well. And again, these are people that would have come in. They would have been wearing different things. Perhaps would have even spoken a little bit differently. They may have even had some barriers in their own thinking as they came in, maybe their own expectations. And yet what God's saying to the nation is that make sure you don't vex them or oppress them. Treat them well. Make them your guest. Make them someone that you know. And church, listen, when someone new comes in, we ought to just have the mindset that, hey, everyone's welcome here. Hey, get to know them. Hey, when was the last time you took the time to shake someone's hand and introduce yourself? When was the last time we just took a little bit of time to recognize maybe some needs and maybe get to know where they're at with their faith journey and where they're at, just have they just moved into the area? How long have you been in this place? Is there something we can do about this and that? Is there something I can pray for you for? You know what we do? We ought to treat them well. Bring them along. Hey, listen, we've got a cafe. And I'll tell you what, our baristas, they're some of the best, all right? And we would love to sit down and, hey, let me take you in and let me introduce you to others. Hey, this is Chloe. She's in charge of the cafe. If you want a discount, be nice to her, all right? And this is Brock. Brock is her fiancé. They're getting married soon. And they've been here this time. And you go through that and you start to introduce, and you know what you're doing? You're treating them well. Right? We don't want to go to somewhere. And you come in and it takes ages for anyone to say hello. You might miss the opportunity to help them get to truth. And what's wrong with, hey, we'd love for you to come next week. I notice you have children. We have life groups. And our kids ministry, man, they do a fantastic job. Like, they will love it. And Mr. Jabez, you know, and Mrs. Gazel, they've just got their new baby. And they're having a blast. And you notice maybe they have teenagers. Hey, you ever thought, we have youth group on a Friday night. Maybe they're a little older and you know, guess what? We've got a thriving Charge Keepers ministry. I'd love for you to come along. In fact, I'll turn up with you. I know I'm under that, but I can't wait to be part of it, right? And just be positive and treat people well. And what that is, it's you're welcoming them, but he goes a little bit further. He goes a little bit further. Notice again in verse 34. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as born among you. You know, part of this welcome isn't just to treat them well, but guess what? He's saying treat them as family. Listen, church, treat them as family. You know, we say it, right? We use the term, we're a church family. And we get it. We're very protective of our family. But you understand that when it comes to God's family is made up of a whole group of people. And he's saying to them, they should be treated unto you as one born among you. You know, we don't treat those that are born into our family with some sort of suspicion. We don't treat our newborns, and we don't treat those that have come into our family. We want to treat them well. We want to show them the kind of values that we have, and we want to show them. And you know, God has that mindset as well. In Psalm 68, verse 6, God setteth the solitary in families. You know, sometimes there are those that will come into the church and they're just alone. You know, I was told, growing up, I was told this, that someone sitting on their own is an emergency. And so often, we just pass by, someone might be sitting on their own and they might just be in that place, and they might even look awkward and they might look confused as to, you know, what are we doing right now? And he's saying, he sets the solitary in families. Hey, listen, maybe you ought to ask them, hey, you want to sit with us? You want to sit with our family? Hey, can I get you a Bible? Is there anything you need? And treat them as family. You know, solitary, that whole idea is one alone. But it's got another meaning in that same word in the original. Not only is it one alone, it was dearly beloved. And someone who's solitary in God's mind is not someone just sitting alone, but someone that he dearly loves. And again, if we're saying that we would have the heart of God, not only should we stand for the truths that we've always stood for, we ought to stand for the truths that affect others. Because that's God's heart. See, those who continue to come along, they decide they're going to stay for a little while. They decide this could be their church. They continue to come along. You know what our goal is as a church? It ought to be this, that at some point, they feel like they're family as well. Hey, listen, that they don't have to sit alone in church. That they can belong somewhere. That they can belong to a family that loves them. And you know what? The best way to do that? The best way to do that is if we're here and if we're established and we're part of this church, that we ought to act as family as well. That we ought to act family one to another. That it ought to be that when we go about, that we're not just here for ourselves. No, we're here for someone else. We've been praying for that person all week. We've been thinking about that person all week. We've been thinking about that family. And we notice that they've been going through a discouragement, and it's been a while since they've been here. And we get around, and you know what that is? You're acting as family, as one born among you. Why is it sometimes that we can go years and years? And listen, if you've been here years and years and you've not felt like you've connected, then really that ought to bother us as a church. That ought to bother us, those of us who've been here a little while. There ought to be a heartbreak here this morning to say, Lord, forgive me. I've not been like you. And there ought to be a realization in our own heart that perhaps we're as family as we should be. And listen, we're to treat them as one born among them. But then notice what he says later as he continues. He says in verse 34, not only are we to be unto them as one born among them, but he says, thou shalt love him as thyself. You know, when God wants to put a measure on how much love you're supposed to have for another, he says, love them like you love yourself. And it's something wrong when you don't treat yourself right. And we know that there's certain things that are self-destructive behaviors, and we know that that's not normal. That's not how it should be. When someone's going through a self-destruct mode, they're not loving themselves like we naturally love ourselves. And so he's saying there, just like you would take care of yourself,
Love them like you would take care of yourself. You know, how would you like to be treated? You know, how would you like to belong? And we know that as the golden rule in Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore shall all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And he's saying to them, how do you want to, you know, there was one time, and maybe some of you, it's been too long. And you've forgotten how it was to be new. How would you like to be treated if you were new? How would you like to be treated if you were here for the first time? And you know, so much of how we love God is actually based on how we treat others. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 25. Look at Matthew 25. And notice his teaching here, he's really teaching about the separation of the sheep which are his and the goats which are amongst them that weren't his. And so he's separating them out, and notice what he brings out as far as how to tell. In verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. So there's a separation there. Then shall this king say unto them, on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Notice how he qualifies that. He's saying there's certain things that I'm commending you because you are one of mine. Here's how. Why was I unhungered? And you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So he's saying that those things were done to him. Those things that feeding, giving for thirst, drinking, and clothing, all of those necessary things. And then the righteous, those sheep, he's going to answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? He was saying, we don't remember that. And notice how he says it in verse 8, when saw we thee a stranger? They continue, and the king in verse 40 answers and says unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Boy. He's saying those that had need, those who were strangers, those who maybe felt awkward as they came in, and those maybe who felt like they needed somewhere to belong, maybe those who just felt a little bit displaced and they were looking for somewhere where the Bible can be preached, where people can love others. And you took your step toward them and you met them at their point of need, and they treated them well. And here's what they did. They treated them lovingly. You know, what is the greatest command? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, right? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, when we go about in our day thinking about how we're supposed to love God, let's start here. Let's start how we treat others. And, you know, ask yourself, how would I like to be treated if I was a guest? Well, if I was coming along to another place, how would I like to be treated? What's my responsibility in this? But then he reminds them, go back to Leviticus 19. Go back to Leviticus 19 and notice here, the last thing he does, he reminds them. He says, love them as yourself. Why? For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. He says, there was a time where you were a stranger. Here's the last one. Welcome them. You treat them well. Treat them like family. Treat them lovingly. Okay, when was the last time you showed love? But then he says, treat them with your own experience in mind. Treat them with your own experience in mind. Why? He says, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That was you once. You were new once. And maybe some of you're saying, Pastor, I grew up here. I grew up here. Hey, talk to your parents about it. Talk to them how it felt to try to start to belong somewhere. Talk to them about those who made a difference in their lives and talk to them about that. Maybe sometimes when you go on holiday or you go to another city, go visit a church and feel the newness of that. And get an experience. But he's saying treat them mindful of your own experience. In fact, in Ephesians 2, verse 12, he reminds us, actually all of us here, he says that at time you were without Christ. Being aliens, that's the New Testament word for those similar to the strangers. They were of foreign born. They were different. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Saying that you were a stranger before you were saved. Actually, you were a stranger. Hey, listen, all of us here, there was one point where you came to know Christ as your Savior. Right? If you're saved here this morning, you weren't born saved. You were born again. Right? You might have been born in a Christian family. It might have been this one. And you might have, this is all you know. But there was one point where you made a decision to belong. But before that, you were a stranger too. And then he says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hey, listen, you know what the greatest motivation is? To be welcoming, to be loving, to treat others like family. You know what the greatest motivation is? Get back to the reality that you were a stranger once too. Get back to the reality that there was a point in your life where you weren't saved. You were far off. But because of the blood of Christ, you've been made nigh. You know what? Made close. Listen, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to bring others close. We're supposed to open. You know, that takes a bit of vulnerability. It takes a bit of our own sacrifice. It takes a bit of like, boy, we have personal space. Hey, listen, the things that God gives us, who we are, we're meant to be used for others. And too often, we get a little bit protective and we can get a little bit far off. But actually, God's saying those who were far off, he brought nigh. Why? Because of the blood of Christ. Hey, listen, the blood of Christ is the greatest, greatest thing that we have in common. You know, you might be different and you might sound different and you might look different and there might be some other bodies of faith that you grew up in and maybe you're just seeking for a place that you can belong, where the Bible can be preached, where you can be fed and you can have fellowship and you can worship and you can have praise to God and you can exercise your gifts. Listen, all of that is great and all of that can differ from one to the other, but the thing that we have in common, if you're here and you're saved, if you're a Christian, is that we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. We're joint heirs. The Bible tells us we're fellow citizens. And listen, we come along and yes, there might be some things that we don't know of each other, but we're supposed to come to the place where we just know. Where we're meant to put our best foot forward because we want you to be family. And maybe you need to do what we would do well to remember when we were new. Remember what brought you here in the first place. Remember that what it felt like. And then in that moment, learn and then help someone else. And I won't take the time, but you know, the next thing we're supposed to do with strangers is involve them. You know, we won't take the time for the sake of time, but you study through that whole thing. There were certain things that strangers could do for them to be able to do some, get involved in offering, get involved in the service. Some famously, Uriah the Hittite, he was in the army of the Israelites. There was Ittai the Gittite as well. And you look at all of those that perhaps were strangers, but they were involved, they were given some civil duties, they were given certain protections, They were given some employment. They were protected by law. They were in civil works. They were shown generosity. And here's the point. You know, we're meant to bring them alongside. And there's not meant to be an isolation. You know, I remember, again, we came from the Philippines. We were real young. And we came into a church we didn't know. And we went to this church. I was 12 years old. It was in that awkward stage of my life where I'm just, you know, you're 12. You're awkward. But I'm so glad that there were just people, not just young people, there were families that came alongside our family and they started to bring us along and they would pick us up and they would take us here and we wouldn't, you know, we just had a great time. And they taught me stuff about the Bible. They taught me stuff about the church. They included me. Pretty soon, I was up there singing with the youth choir. I didn't know what to sing. I just sung what came out of my mouth, right? That poor choir director. But they persevered. You know what they didn't do? They didn't isolate me. They didn't speak about me. They didn't gossip. They didn't go, oh, look at that person, oh. You know what? They had enough spiritual maturity to go, this kid needs help. And this kid needs someone that will love him. And yes, he's not perfect. And yes, he's a little goofy. And yes, he's all of this. But listen, God loves that little kid. And I'm going to love him too. And just this morning, I texted one of my best friends. It's his birthday today. He turns 45. And I was just reflecting as I woke up this morning. Just a time when they were new. A time when they were just part of the, they were just new. And I remember just, you know, he was a little older than me. And so pretty soon there were things that we just found in common. But the thing that was most common was I just found out that this guy, he just loved God too. And he had gotten saved early in his life. And now they had moved to this new place. And they just needed a church. They wanted to come back. And I just remember sitting with him, and you know what? The treatment I got, I treated him like that too. I loved on him because I was loved because I knew what it felt like to be new. And I sat with him, and you know, there were times where we would, and I just remember I was included, and I became one of them. And I think about Barnabas in the New Testament. I preached a message a couple of months ago on Barnabas, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. You know that who that him was? Paul. Paul, the writer of the New Testament. Paul, who at one point was a great enemy of the church, and everyone was skeptical about Paul. Well, you know what happened? There was a Barnabas. And a Barnabas was able to include him, and guess what? Because of that, the whole world was turned upside down. And listen, you don't know if you would just spend the time. But here's the last thing, and really quickly, teach them. You know, the strangers would have had no knowledge or perhaps little knowledge of what it was to live in Israel. But here's what God said. Look at Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 8. And in this small snippet of scripture, we see here, lastly, that we're not only to welcome them, to include them, but we're supposed to teach them. There's certain things that we're supposed to teach. And you know, the Lord Jesus, even in his parable of the highways and byways and the hedges, he says to compel them to come in. You know, when you study that, those who were in the hedges, they were the ones, they were strangers. And he's saying that we're supposed to show them a better way. Look at Joshua chapter 8, look at verses 34 and 35. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. You know, that word conversant means just they had become familiar, they were keeping company. And guess what? They read the law to all of them. They opened the Word of God. And they taught them certain things. They taught them the law. They taught them how to fit in. They taught them the expectations. In Exodus 12, verse 49, he says, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you." There was one law. You know what the authority here is? hey, I have a role to play. I'm the under shepherd, I'm the pastor of the church. But you know what the authority here is? It's right here. It's the word of God. We're supposed to teach them this. Hey, listen, we could develop friendships. We ought to have that connection. But ultimately, we ought to be about this. We ought to be about the word of God. We ought to teach the one law. We ought to teach how to follow God. We ought to teach how to love God. We ought to teach how to raise our families in the nurture and admonition of God. We're supposed to open the word of God, and we're supposed to have it as authority in our lives, and we're supposed to just help them and each one just grow in their love and their fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to it, we're supposed to help them along in their faith. And that's how you become family. And that's how you become part of the church. And that's how you become, it's one law. You know, they were to bring in, and sometimes the strangers, of course, they had other gods. There were other faiths, you would say. But the whole point of that place was the truth. And the whole point of this place is that it's supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And we're supposed to have those two, though. We're supposed to treat one another well. We're supposed to love one another. You know, we're not here. We ought not to have a critical spirit when we're here. But see that door over there? That ought to be checked at the door. You can pick it up for other places but don't bring it in here. Listen, don't walk around, and we're not here to just make judgment of your. Listen, we're just here. We just want to love God. We want to love you, and we want to teach you the book. And we want to, that whole catchphrase, we want to do life with you. No, we want to do it life more abundant in Christ Jesus. And we want to make sure that, as we go through that, that we do what God expects of us. And that it would just naturally flow from a heart that's just been changed. Because we were strangers once. But actually, now the Bible says, therefore, you are no more strangers. You are no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And I love the phrase, in the household of God. You know what God's intent is? That churches are families. And we're supposed to act that way. We're supposed to check away those things that hinder that. And so we're supposed to be just people who would treat them as born among them. You know, just because you were born into this doesn't make you any different to someone who's just come in. Because you're supposed to treat them like born among you. Just because they're just on their journey, they're looking for somewhere and they're a little bit different, it doesn't mean we just shut the door and we hope they go away. I want to tell you, we're here. We're open for conversation. We have the Word of God as our authority, and we get to learn from it, grow from it. And if you're saved or if you get saved, guess what? You're part of the household of God, and we want to show what a family can be. And I want to ask you, church, what's your heart for those God is bringing in? You know, what's my response to those who may be from maybe another denomination? Or look different to you. What we're seeing, right, in our neighborhoods, in our city, and whether you like it or not, it's happening. Brisbane's changing. This neighborhood's changing. Man, there's more traffic than ever, right? But listen, we can have our own mindset about that, or we can have God's mindset about that. We can have our own feelings about it, or we can submit ourselves to God's heart about it. And as God, in his goodness and his faithfulness, allows us to continue to be the lighthouse here, then we ought to be a lighthouse that welcomes people. We ought to be a lighthouse that involves people. And we want to be a lighthouse then that just ultimately teaches and helps bring them onward in their faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. Thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, I know that too often we can, Lord, major on things that, Lord, we know rightly, and we know we trumpet and we stand for, but too often, Lord, we can get, Lord, our eyes off your heart, your way, your mind. And we can go away from that, Lord, and we can find ourselves just really in a place that's okay, but not quite the place where you want us to be. So help us, dear God, as we just consider these things, Lord. And I know many here who, Lord, are fairly new to our church, but I pray that, Lord, they would feel that they can be part of this place, that they can be weaved into the fabric of who we are and what we're doing for you. And I pray that you'd just solidify even in some relationships today. Lord, forgive us, Lord, if you've pricked us in our heart. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to repent of that, to get it right. And Lord, just determine in our own hearts to be more loving. Lord, to be more like you. And help us, we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.